You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, our Paul Hamilton joins me right now on the Wester Hotline. It is a Buffalo Football Friday, but of course the Sabres played last night, a loss 3-1 to the LA Kings. They play again tomorrow at home against the Florida Panthers. I don't know, Paul, do you call it just puck luck? Is there some skill involved here where they just couldn't bury the puck? You've mentioned how many posts this team hits. They hit posts last night. They had a 5-on-3 they couldn't cash in, a penalty shot they couldn't cash in. They finally do, and oh yeah, it doesn't count. And oh, by the way, good morning to you.
How are you?
A little frustrated after last night. Went to that game. Very frustrating. Have all those chances. They seemed, to my eyes, to play well and just couldn't get the result.
Yeah, exactly. They did play extremely well, and especially for the first 40 minutes, where those two really bad mistakes that they made in the third period shouldn't even mattered. I mean, they should have been at the time 5-0 or 6-0 or something like that, where you make the silly mistake that Dahlin made and the puck winds up being, okay, it's 6-1, or you make the silly penalty that Samuelson does and that goes in there. All right, it's 6-2, but you're fine. I mean, they did the work very well to score goals, but last year they couldn't score goals. And here they are in the first three games this year, they can't score goals. So it's not something that just cropped its head up this year. It happened for all of last year. A lot of it can still be contributed to the power play, even though the power play was better. They did have a 1:09 with a 5-on-3. They got one scoring chance. That's all they could muster. They did get the puck in the zone. But that's all they could muster was one scoring chance in the 5-on-3. Los Angeles had a 28-second 5-on-3. Technically, they didn't score. I think they scored a second or two afterwards. The player coming out of the box wasn't anywhere near the play yet. So it was still 5-on-3 as far as what was going on in the game. And they scored on theirs to put the game away at 2-1 with only 1:38 left in the hockey game. So, you know, if you just get one power play goal in the game there, in your opportunities there, or you score on your 5-on-3, okay, Dahlin makes a bad play, gives the puck away, but it's only 2-1. You know, you're not tied, you're not down, you're still up. So, you know, those are the things that are just killing them. But the amount of goals they miss, Tage Thompson just can't seem to hit the net. He did have 5 shots on goal, but he had quite a few wide. It's just let's not make any mistake here. Darcy Kuemper is not one of the better goaltenders in the National Hockey League. Average at best, and I might be nice calling him average. But, you know, twice out of 3 games, Markstrom and Kuemper have been made to look like Dominic Hasek. And how many times did I say that last year? I think, if I recall, last year there were a couple of goalies that came up from the minors and shut down the Sabres. You know, so it's just it's not a problem. It's just starting this year. But it's still a problem for them. And, I don't have a crystal ball to say, well, they're never going to score goals this year. I don't know that. Who knows that? But they have had problems now for 1 season and 3 games at scoring goals.
Tomorrow night, by the way, it'll be the battle of so far early power play futility. The two teams in the league that are both 0 for 6. The Florida Panthers, believe it or not, Paul, also 0 for 6 on the power play. So, and we know they're a very talented team. So it can happen even to the most talented teams. But what did you like or not like last night versus the weekend on the power play? Lindy talked about zone entries last night and him liking more about it, but them just not able, obviously, to convert.
I thought they worked harder in their battles on the power play. I thought when they did get it in, they battled and won some battles and started being able to work it around. Yuri Kulik had a nice one-timer from the circle, you know, got himself loose for that because he was on the power play. And, you know, so I think there were things that were better, you know, and a couple of times they did get some pucks to the net and some people to the net, but, you know, not enough. And it still was, though, you know, trying to force passes at times. And then those plays wound up being broken up and cleared. So, you know, they're still trying to force passes. They got away with a couple of those forced passes where they tried to force a pass and it went off a skater stick, but it went to a saber. So it didn't, it went to a different saber, but the puck didn't wind up going out. So they did. They were fortunate on some of those passes where, you know, it didn't cost them and they still maintained possession. But, you know, it just goes to show you again, and three close games, if you get a power play goal in each game, does that change the complexion of any of those games? I would imagine it would have. And, you know, maybe you can at least get a couple of those games to overtime, because that's another problem from last year. The Sabres were one of the worst teams at loser points. They couldn't get games to overtime. And Alex Tuck talked yesterday about, you know, that second New Jersey game. They didn't have their A game, but it was still a game. That's a game when you don't have your A game, get it to overtime. You know, and they had the opportunity to do that. It was tied 1-1. And just don't make a silly play. Just make sure you mind your P's and Q's. Make sure you don't turn the puck over and give them odd man rushes. Get the game to overtime. Get your point. And then, who knows? Maybe you'll steal the second point in 3-on-3 or in a shootout. Same thing with this game. I mean, most teams, including the Sabres, if they're leading in the third period, going into the third period, they win the hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
And especially as well as they were playing after two periods, out shooting them 27-11, and the shots definitely, you know, looked like the game looked, you know, and you've got the lead going in. You got to get that game at least to overtime. Even if all this happens to you, you got to be able to get that. At least you can't leave that game last night with no points, as well as you played and as well as you dominated at times. You can't leave that game without points, but yet they did.
How'd you feel UPL played last night?
He was fine. I mean, the second goal, the game winner by Kopitar, Byfield was in front screening him, so he didn't get a good look at it. And
great shot too, by the way.
Yeah, and the first one, bang bang in the net. They left Kopitar after the Dowling turnover. They left Kopitar coming down the slot by himself, and you know, this is a guy that scored that goal many, many times in this league, and he came down the slot, got rid of it right away, and put it in. So I wouldn't say that was a bad goal either. So I thought he was fine. He didn't have a whole lot of work, more work in the third period than, and you know, he's part of that penalty kill too. You need your goaltender to make a save for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I liked was he would make the save and then his teammates would get rid of the rebounds, whether it was penalty kill or when they were defending. You know, when the other team did get some opportunities, they weren't getting second and third chances against him. So, you know, he was solid making the save. His teammates were there, clear a rebound, and the puck was out of danger.
I believe the power play goal, the game winner, was the first power play goal surrendered by the Sabres this season. They had been perfect for 5 and then 1 for 6 overall. But one thing that led to that, and Lindy spoke about it last night, the penalty to Mattias Samuelsson. And he said it's a good call. That's not a bad call. That's just bad situational awareness by Mattias Samuelsson.
It is. It's a silly penalty to take, especially when you're down a man. And you're going to get called every single time for that. You slash somebody's stick and you break it out of their hands, you're going to the penalty box. And the referee had no chance, no choice.
No choice
but to call it. He had to call it. You know, in the NHL, sometimes they go, well, we're not going to put a team down, 2 men, 1 minute left, you know, when they should, even if there's a penalty, but they don't. And then, you know, but this one, or when you flip the puck over the glass, you're going. I mean, those two are just, you're going to the penalty box. It was just a silly penalty. And I'll be interested to see, if maybe Bryson or Gilbert is in that spot for practice today.
And then tomorrow, do we think UPL again? Or do they go to Devin Levi here? I was looking back. Levi's second start ever was against Florida. He gave up two goals. UPL's obviously played them a few times. So a little unfamiliarity. It's also his former organization, obviously.
Yeah, if you're going with, you know, Lukanen's your number one goaltender, I think he plays the first three. And then Levi plays in Columbus next week. Because that's back-to-back in three and four. Now, you could, if you wanted to, put Lukanen in this one and have Levi play the first game in Pittsburgh and then have Lukanen play Columbus and Chicago if you wanted to do that. So if you're going with the assumption that Lukanen is your number one goaltender and they're not going to be splitting time, that I would think Lukanen would be in goal, yes.
Anything on J.J. Paterka or any of the other injury updates, Paul?
Well, he was on the ice. Most morning skates are going to be optional. You know, the players in Lindy spoke, they're all were hanging around, but they weren't on the ice. And Paterka was. So I was wondering if they were going with the suggested guidelines on concussions, which is 7 days, and 7 days would be Saturday. If he wasn't feeling well or was off, I don't think he would have been on the ice.
Right.
So they might have just said, let's not fool around with this. He got hit pretty hard. Let's not fool around with this. Let's go with the guidelines and do 7 days. They didn't put him on IR and call anybody up. So we'll see if he's on the ice for practice today. But I think that at least was a good sign that he was one of the players on the ice for the morning skate yesterday.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, our Yankees are through, which is good. We can relax a little bit as the Guardians and Tigers take it to Game 5 and use up some pitching, so that's good news.
Yeah, I was disappointed I missed a game by Cole because Cole pitches such beautiful games that...
Pitched a great game last night.
Yeah, if I had to miss a game, I would rather miss one of the other ones that he's not pitching in, but, you know, hey.
You got a TV up there in the press box. I will tell you what I did. I'm full disclosure. I even warned my wife and son. We went to the game last night, and I said, I'm bringing my phone. I'm putting the Yankees game on the app at times, so during the middle of the Sabres game at times I literally like had the drink on the spot in front of us and I put my phone behind it so I could just kind of look down and watch what was happening and Cole was dealing, but we were able to watch a little bit of it and then I saw the final few outs when we finally got home last night and that was cool.
Yeah, I'm too concussed to be able to concentrate on two things at once like that. So, you know.
Protocol for you? Protocol
little,
for you,
I'm a little shot that way. Okay. So, you know, I don't want to divert my attention from what I'm supposed to be doing. So, no, I didn't have it on around me.
Paul, have a great weekend. We'll catch up next week.
Okay, take care.
All right, that is Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Of course, Paul's appearances on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda, Relax, we got this. All right. We've had Paul Hamilton. We've had John Scott. We've had Sean McDermott. We still got to get to Patrick Hammer. But before we do any of that, we got to get to this week's NFL schedule. NFL week number 6 already started last night. How about the Niners coming to life on offense against a really good, we thought, Seattle Seahawks defense? Seattle starts the season giving up no more than 20 points a game in their first three. But then you look back and say, wait a minute, that was against the Broncos? The Patriots? Broncos and a rookie quarterback who don't have a great offense. Patriots, who have nothing on offense. And the Dolphins without Tua the week after he was out. And then they go and play the Lions and give up 42. The Giants, they give up 29, one of the special teams at the end. And the Niners last night at 36. The Niners, in the meantime, needed a big win here. They had been a bit reeling. They had lost three of their previous four. They get back in the winning track. And now, Niners against Chiefs next week. Interesting game. Chiefs coming off a bye, though, and Andy Reid's very good there. But Niners-Chiefs next week, after the Niners beat the Seahawks last night to start NFL Week 6. What do we got on tap for Sunday? Maybe the best game of the Sunday afternoon slate. Commanders-Ravens. You could probably think that the Ravens are just going to beat the Commanders. They're really just kind of playing above their head. They're going to come back to earth. I'm not so sure about that. The Ravens can be had sometimes. We saw the Raiders do that to them. And Jaden Daniels looks like the real deal at this point. We'll see where it goes. I like the Commanders' offense. I like what they're doing. They can't really stop anybody. This is going to be a high-scoring game, and I think the Commanders have a chance. I'll take the Ravens to win it, but I think the Commanders have a chance to pull off an upset here because sometimes the Ravens can just have one of those kinds of games that we've seen. They've already had it this year already. Jags at Bears. Caleb Williams and the Bears offense coming to life last week, and now they face the Jags, who really, they haven't been able to stop anybody through the air. I think Caleb Williams is in for another nice day, but here comes the Jags and their offense after a win last week. Can they keep it going here? This should be a good game. I think, what am I going to go here? I think the conventional wisdom says to take the Bears, but I keep thinking in my head that the Jags are better than what they've played. So I think the Jags have a much more legitimate shot here, but I don't even know what the line is. I have to check on that game. Should be a fun game. Should be a good game. We'll see where both teams go. Cardinals at Packers. Cardinals big win over the Arizona of the 49ers last week. Packers don't really kind of know what to do with them right now. They play really hot and cold in games. Like, they're super hot at times for a while, and then they're really cold for a while. They've done that against Tennessee, against Minnesota, even last week a little bit against the Rams. They are at home in this game. Cardinals coming off a big win, like I said. Both teams are coming off nice wins. Packers should be the team here, but, man, Cardinals, don't sleep on them. They can fight. They can win. They're 2-3, but we know that they have some talent there. Texans at Patriots. I do not expect this game to be close. I don't care if the Texans have Nico Collins or not. Now, I will say that the Patriots can play some defense. And without Nico Collins, at least they'll be able to kind of maybe do some things to slow down the Texans offense. I just don't know how the Patriots are going to score. They have to get a special teams touchdown or defensive. Maybe Drake May is, whoa, oh my God, look at this guy, what he can do. He's going in to be their starting quarterback. Texans should roll in this game, but hey, you never know. It's the NFL. I guess you do know here, because if they do, if the Patriots win, it'll be like a 15-12 game, like one they played last week against the Dolphins. But I think the Texans should just take care of business here. Buccaneers at Saints. Lots of thoughts going out to all of our friends, colleagues, family members, everybody in the Tampa area in Florida. They didn't get necessarily hit as hard as some of the people where I know that live down in the lower part of the Sarasota, Englewood, where I used to live, just really beat up after these hurricanes. The Buccaneers took their entire operation, their staff, their team, their players, everybody, some family, to New Orleans earlier this week. My buddy, he's been on the program here, TJ Reeves, is the sideline reporter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Checked in. He's doing well. His family's doing well. But I know that's been very stressful on them. And now they go to New Orleans, a team, though, in New Orleans who will be without their starting quarterback in Derek Carr. I think the Buccaneers should take care of business here. Sometimes that happens, and you rally, and you band together. We've seen it happen with the Bills having to move because of a snowstorm, right? A couple of times. The Jets several years ago, the Browns last year in Detroit. And you rally together. You come together. You play for one. It's just kind of bonds your team. And you're playing a team without their starting quarterback in Derek Carr, who also just has not been nearly the same team as we saw the first 2 weeks. I like the Buccaneers here. Browns at Eagles. This is a monster game for a lot of reasons. It could say a lot about both teams' direction for the rest of the season. Look, the Eagles are the better team here. They should win this game. But the Browns have talent. We know that. Maybe not at the quarterback position like a lot of people thought they would, but that's it for them. Let me start with the Eagles. If the Eagles lose this game, that seat under Nick Sirianni is getting turned way, way up. It is already pretty hot for a coach in a market that gets seats very hot very quickly. Philadelphia, that is a market where they are all the love in the world and all the scorn in the world for their players, their coaches. If they lose this game, I think you're going to hear a lot of chatter about the future of Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, their relationship, everything. If the Browns lose this game, maybe you're looking at them starting to say, okay, maybe we should trade Amari Cooper. We're 1-5 in our division, which is pretty good. What do they do with Deshaun Watson? Do they actually at some point think about benching him? How do you do that? You can't move on from his contract. Monster game for both teams' organizational directions, I think, after this one and where they could wind up going. And maybe even really their season. The Browns got to win to stay alive. Eagles don't have to do that, but they can't fall to 2-3 the way the Commanders look and having the Giants now starting to play better and the Dallas Cowboys in their division. Colts at Titans. These are two teams that are underperforming right now. Colts looked really good against the Steelers, and then they go and play the Jags last week, and they come back to earth. They can't stop the run right now. The Bills play the Colts several weeks down the road. They play the Titans a week from Sunday in Orchard Park. Two teams the Bills should be able to beat, because I have not seen a lot that's really impressed me from either, other than a play here or a play there from Anthony Richardson or maybe Will Levis when he's not giving it to the other team. I don't know. At home, I guess I'll take the Titans, but I think the Colts can win. Let's see. If Joe Flacco plays, he seems to be better for the offense. This is a... I don't really know who to take in this game. I think the Titans at home, I guess, will be the play. I'd take the home team, I guess, in this game. Either way, could go Colts, could go Titans. Chargers at Broncos. Okay. What do you got, Chargers? Big spot for you. You had a bye week last week. coming off two losses. One to Kansas City, where you only let up 17 points to the Chiefs. But you only scored 10 points each of the last 2 weeks. And now you have a Denver Broncos defense that looks like it has Denver Broncos that have a really terrific defense. Here's the Broncos points allowed last 4 weeks: 18, 9, 7, 13. They did allow 26 somehow against the Seattle Seahawks in week number one. I think there were some turnovers there, in there as well. Now the Chargers, you know, they have a chance here, I think, to kind of write their script the way a lot of people thought they would be this year and go to Denver and win. But Denver looks good right now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Denver looks good, and Bo Nix is efficient. Not good, but efficient. He was a bit last week. I think the Broncos win this game, but the Chargers, after a bye week, don't discount them here going to Denver and having a game plan that kind of surprises the Broncos. Steelers at Raiders. Who's starting a quarterback in this game for the Steelers? Is it Justin Fields? We didn't even know that. Is it Justin Fields? Is it Russell Wilson? Have they come out? They said it. Do we know? Who's starting for the Raiders? Don't even know that at this point. They're juggling quarterbacks left and right. Steelers 3-2, Raiders 2-3. The Steelers are probably the better team here. I'm still not convinced in them. I mean, when they were 3-0, we're like, yeah, they're really not that good. And then they've lost the last two, right? I mean, that's just what we expected to happen. They lost 20-17 to the Cowboys Sunday night. And the Cowboys, they don't have a very good defense. And the Steelers could only score 17 points on them. I don't expect the Steelers to score a lot of points on the Raiders. Maybe a little bit more here. I don't know. You know what? I'll do it. I'll take the Raiders. This should be an interesting game, though, that could say a bit about each team, but especially a bigger game for the Steelers, I think, than the Raiders. Raiders won't be in there at the end. The Steelers are looking to be there at the end. Falcons at Panthers. After that great game by Andy Dalton when he took over for Bryce Young, they've come back to earth here. They have now allowed, look at their, oh my God, their points allowed. 36, 34, 22, 36, 47. Yeah, Falcons should win this game. They've looked a lot better. Kirk Cousins looks good. Threw for 500 yards last week. Lions at Cowboys. Cowboys can't stop the run. They're not that physical. Lions are going to pound it at him, and then Jared Goff's going to basically make him pay through the air once that happens. I think the Lions have a chance to beat him pretty good here. I'd be surprised if the Cowboys won this game. If they keep it close, sure. I mean, that can happen. I think the Lions should kind of roll here, to be quite honest with you, what I've seen from them, but who knows. Bengals at Giants. This is your Sunday night game. So you got a game on Sunday night at MetLife. Bengals at Giants, a game Monday night at MetLife. Bills at Jets, just like last year. Happened week one. Had Cowboys-Giants week one. Then you had Bills-Jets week one. So Bengals, boy, they can score. They just can't stop anybody. My goodness, 41, 24, 38, 26, the points allowed. But they're scoring in the 30s every week. Joe Burrow looked great. And here come the Giants playing good football right now. Better football. Daniel Jones looking a lot better. They've won two of their last three. They're not scoring a lot of points, but they put up just enough last week against Seattle to win. Just enough against Cleveland to win. I think the Bengals win this game. But man, if they don't, and they go to 1-5 after this loss, now another team that, what's the direction? What are you doing? Where are you going from here? We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll have Patrick Hammer tell you about the weather in New York, New Jersey, for the Bills, Monday Night Football against the New York Jets. We'll be back in a snap. And of course, that's always brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio with you. And of course, it's a Buffalo Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your day the Crosby's way. Earlier, we heard from Sean McDermott. Check that on demand at WGR550.com and the Odyssey app. He gave us a Barnes injury report brought to you by the Barnes firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Really no changes on the injury report for today. The team will have a walkthrough, so expect what you saw yesterday as far as who's limited, who's out there. But then tomorrow's the big day for this week because a Monday night game to see who's actually going to be ruled out. As of now, Bills head coach Sean McDermott said no one is ruled out for the game on Monday night. Speaking of Monday night, Bills, Jets, Meadowlands, East Rutherford, New Jersey at MetLife Stadium. What's the weather going to be like? Let's talk with Patrick Hammer.
Break it down. Stop. Hammer time.
And Patrick Hamer joins us right now, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist on the West Her Hotline. Good morning to you, buddy. Happy Friday to you.
And to you, I got to start things off by saying I was a little disappointed with your interview with Coach McDermott. Because he announced that he's not a big Motley Crue fan. And
I know.
That kind of hit hard. You know,
he didn't say that. What he said was it wasn't at the top of his list, of his playlist.
He's familiar with a few songs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's familiar with a few songs. So I guess you're right. He didn't say, like, he didn't like them. But you're right.
Yeah, it wasn't his cup of tea. It's fine. I just was like, I thought he was going to start talking about an experience he had at a concert or, you know.
You thought he was going to be a roadie, right? You thought he was going to be a roadie, just traveling around the country with Vince Neil and Nikki Sixx and Mick Mars and Tommy.
His real nickname is Dr. Feelgood. I thought that's what he'd say, but no.
That would have been an amazing soundbite. If Sean McDermott came on the radio and I asked him about Motley Crue and he said, you know, Sal, in my younger days, they called me Dr. Feelgood. We would be playing that over and over as a liner here on WGR for many years.
For years to come. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, listen, obviously, let's just start with the seriousness of what happened in Florida this week. And obviously, we've talked many times over the years about me living there and having family and friends there. This was a direct hit to where I used to live. This was Siesta Key was the direct hit, but just south of there, Englewood is the town that I lived in, and the major extension of damage there and down into Port Charlotte and Punta Gorda. And this is an area that's already been reeling. Thankfully for me, that I'll report that the friends and family, I know that they're okay, but people have a lot of damage. My mother-in-law lives in Venice. She had some damage to her backyard. Her house is good, fortunately. But boy, Pat, I mean, this hurricane, I'll just give you the floor to talk about watching this thing and grow to what it grew and what it did.
Yeah, and it kind of hit an area. I don't know if you were there in 2004, I think, Hurricane Charlie.
I went through Hurricane Charlie. It's the only one like this that I've ever really gone through, and then I said I never want to go through this again.
Yeah, and that was a similar storm in terms of size and strength. Yeah, this one was remarkable in the sense that it kind of did a weird thing. It's not unheard of, but it came from the west and moved to the east. Directly, yeah. And that's not a usual path that hurricanes take. The fact that it, you know, two major hurricanes hitting the same side of Florida within, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks is just incredible. And the fact that this storm went from like a bunch of clouds to a Cat 5 in like 16 hours. I mean, it exploded. Yeah. And if there's anything that we were lucky is that the storm did weaken as it made landfall. So the storm surge could have been a lot worse. It was certainly bad, but you know, there was, you know, possibilities in Tampa, especially of, you know, 15-foot storm surges. Luckily it didn't get that high, but nonetheless for Siesta Key, Sarasota and Point South, it was a terrible storm. And, unfortunately we're not necessarily done. It's going to quiet down for a while, but, there are signs that, tropical activity may ramp up again by the end of the month. So that's something to watch.
There's a couple disturbances out there. The next named storm would be Nadine. Hurricane season goes till the end of November. I'm reading a little bit about Nadine. It looks like to me, just from what I've read, I'm not the meteorologist during this portion, but that there's not expected to be any sort of development now, but you still have to monitor it for the future.
Absolutely. And I think there's a couple systems that may form potentially down the road 10, 12 days in the Gulf of Mexico again. So we're not out of the woods. Yeah, it's been a season that was so quiet initially, just, you know, just ramped up quickly.
Yeah, it seemed like it's been later this year. But like I said, goes through November. That water's pretty warm out there. All right, so the Bills obviously play in New York Monday night. I love going to New York City this time of year. I think it's fantastic. Early, mid-October. It's just it's a great city to walk around in. Are we going to be able to do that this weekend? I know a lot of Joe's playing Bethpage Black tomorrow, by the way. He's going there. He's playing Bethpage Black, and then he'll be enjoying New York City. I know a lot of people who go there for this game. It's a holiday that the Bills play on. So what are we looking at for the weekend and for the game?
So when we were talking a week ago, Sal, we said, hey, can't turn our heads away from the weather potential for the Jets game. And the good news is there's a system coming, but it's going to move through before the game. If you are heading to New York, Sunday doesn't look great. Like here, there will be rain showers there on Sunday. But Sunday night into Monday, it'll dry out. It'll be breezy. It will be on Monday itself in the 60s for highs. But by game time, it'll be in the 50s. So it'll be kind of a nice fall day on Monday. It will be breezy in New York and New Jersey, but rain-free. The rain that moves through, the same rain that's going to be moving through here on Sunday will move through there Sunday night, and it should be done, wrapped up on Monday. So the weather looks pretty good.
So dress warm for the game, because it's going to be a little bit chilly and a little bit breezy, but you shouldn't have to worry too much about precipitation.
No. It looked like there was a chance.
Yeah.
Because there is a pretty strong storm moving through New England that's going to stir up the wind. But most of the rain with this, and by the way, high elevation snow, will stay well north of New York, more so in New England and upstate New York. So I think dress for cool temperatures for sure on Monday night.
Okay, and obviously I have already started to look at the Bills' next home game, which is a week from Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. I know, Pat Hammer, it's a little too early to look at all of that stuff, but it looks like maybe a warming trend next week. Are we looking at that?
Yeah. Okay, so the week is going to start off like November, early November, 40s.
Oof.
With rain showers Monday, Tuesday. Can't rule out a few hilltop snowflakes in the southern tier Monday night and Tuesday. So it is going to be a real fall feel to start next week. But as you said, it does warm up by the end of the week. I think Sunday has a chance of being a really nice day. We're going to be in the 60s, it looks like, so temperatures will warm. There is a front that will be approaching on Sunday. But given that it's a 1 o'clock kickoff, I think the game gets in before that front gets here. So it should be a pretty nice day with maybe a little breezy, but it will be much warmer than the rest of the week. 40s for highs in October is pretty cool. But by next Sunday, we're back in the 60s.
Hey, the weekend, though, people here, this is a big weekend for like the people go to the pumpkin farms and, you're wrapping up. I know some golf out there. People want to get the last few weekends in there. I mean, we're traveling, obviously. I'm traveling to the game, but I won't leave till Sunday, with the team charter because the game's on Monday night. So I got some time on. We got some baseball this weekend still, some fall baseball going around with people. Just a lot going on. Sabres game at home tomorrow night. Just what does it look like this weekend here in Western New York?
Saturday's your day, okay, for outdoor stuff. Looks good. Temperature's right around 60. Not bad, but a pretty nice day. Sunday just kind of looks lousy. 50s for highs, cloudy skies, some showers around, breezy. I'm not saying, hey, do we cancel our trip to Fall Fest in Ellicottville? No, of course, go. But it's just going to be a little damp. So if you want to do golf and you want to do outdoor stuff, Saturday's your day.
All right. You ever see Motley Crue live?
1988.
Yes!
Monsters of Rock Tour.
Love this.
Candlestick Park. It was this was the lineup. Jet Boy, who I don't even remember who they are. Poison.
Yes.
Okay? And then Motley Crue. And the crew, this is when Tommy Lee introduced his like 360 swivel drum set.
Yes.
Where they would lift him up and then he would start spinning and he's drumming upside down. It was insane.
That is what a great story. I love that. And so we saw them. My wife and I went and we just moved back to Buffalo 2011, I believe it was. We go to Darien Lake to see them. Okay. They go to Darien Lake. They play in the amphitheater. This is 13 years ago now. And we sat. You've been at Darien Lake for concerts, right? You've been there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So in the middle there, they have like underneath the pavilion, right in the middle, we were kind of sitting there. And they come out, they're playing Home Sweet Home. They literally walk off stage, get into a scissors lift, a bucket on the scissors lift right next to us in the middle there, and it goes up the scissors lift as they're playing Home Sweet Home on the guitars and singing. Okay, it was amazing.
Awesome.
It was just great. Now listen, the rest of the concert, they pretty much had the music really high because Vince Neil's voice was terrible. So they had the music really high. It's okay. The novelty was amazing. So anyway, my wife, Jana, she's from Germany originally. She didn't have any idea really about Motley Crue or that I liked them. So she's like, yeah, I'll go with you. I don't care. I don't care if she necessarily loved the music or not. It was just the fact that we were there together enjoying it, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the point was, she was fine with it. Years ago, they did this documentary called The Dirt, right? You see this thing? It was called The Dirt, Motley Crue. So we're watching it. It's this documentary on Motley Crue. And it's like literally 10 years after we went to this concert, and then she finally looks at me and goes, wait a minute, when we went to see them, Tommy Lee was in this band? I'm like, what are you talking about? Yes, we saw him that night. She knew Tommy Lee.
Oh my gosh. But she didn't know that.
Like,
she
didn't. Yes, never put two and two together.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I was in Las Vegas, probably in the early 2000s, and we were at a steakhouse at a hotel, and we walk up, we're sitting by the bar, and I look over, and I'm with a group of about like seven buddies. There's Vince Neil.
Oh, wow.
And Vince Neil was sitting at the bar. His face looked like a raisin. But he looked a little weathered, but to be within 10 feet of him, of course we left him alone, didn't say anything. But there he was with his, I don't know if it was girlfriend, wife, date, whatever, but there he was. And, so I kind of got two experiences with the crew. But that's a concert in 1988 I'll never forget. And then his voice was still good. He could still hit the high notes.
There you go.
I think Vince Neil now like sticks the mic out to the crowd and tries to let the crowd sing, right?
Hey, whatever you got to do to make it work. Last thing before I let you go, what did you wear to that 88 concert, whatever it was you said, 89? Was it like, what did you have a headband on, long hair? What'd you look like?
I had kind of a little bit of a Sean Cassidy flow going, you know, a little longer, a little blonder hair back then. And it's funny you ask. I think that same year I saw Boston on tour. Yeah, and I think I had a Boston T-shirt on. this was after this third. It was called the third. I forget their third album. You know, they didn't have a ton of stuff, but their third album, they toured that. So I think I wore the Boston rock group, you know, rock T-shirt is what I wore with the flowing hair.
Well, I'll do the radio thing and segue here and say, anytime you come on, we get more than a feeling. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much for doing
that. Yeah,
there we go. Pat Hammer. Hey, enjoy your weekend. Thanks for the updates, buddy. And listen, Monday, Josh and Zach will be hosting. I'll be in New York, but I know that your phone will be open if there's any changes in the weather, if they just want to talk to you about what's happening Monday night.
I'll be here.
All right, thanks a lot. You got it. Pat Hammer right there on the West Her Hotline, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. What a great guy. Always appreciate him joining us on a Friday and taking his time out. We'll take a time out here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Friday Extra Point Show, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. The words and the rhythm here would be good for a goal song. More than a feeling, right? But just not that hard hitting, which is what you kind of want for a goal song. We're talking about goal songs today because the Sabres, they played last night, Motley Crue, Kickstart My Heart. And it was received pretty well as a song, but a lot of people saying not a great goal song. So Pat Hamer talked about that and said he saw Boston that same year he saw Motley Crue back in the 80s, which is really cool. This is Boston here. So, Sal Capaccio back here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. We had Sean McDermott earlier. If you missed that, on demand, WGR550.com, Odyssey app. All the ways you can listen to Sean talk about the Barnes Firm Injury Report. Brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We expect the same report from yesterday to be today after a walkthrough. And then tomorrow we'll get the official injury designations for the game Monday night at the Jets. Real quick here. We've been talking this morning about some more Davante Adams chatter. This is where it's coming from more than anything over the last 24 hours. This is Marcel Reese, former player and executive with the Raiders. He was on Kay Adams' podcast.
I'm going to tell you this because I'm a little closer to the situation than I should be, but I think there's a sneaky team that a lot of people aren't talking about that could come in late. I think it's going to pick up here.
Tell me this.
In the next few days.
Does in the next few days or weeks?
I'm going to say weeks.
Yeah. I don't have time for this. What? Does the sneaky team rhyme with Schmills? It does? Shoot, I'm so
You're
good. I'm so
You're
good.
I want to know how Kay kind of knew that, too. I want to know. Kay, what do you know that you're not saying, right? Like, how did you know it rhymes with Schmills? She could have said, does it rhyme with Schmangles? She could have said, does it rhyme with Schmavens? Well, even though they're not a mystery team, right? But how did she know that? Very interesting. Hey, great Friday show today. Thank you so much, of course, Bills head coach Sean McDermott for his weekly radio appearance. Also, John Scott, WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist, Paul Hamilton for joining me, and WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist. Oh, wait, John Scott's the sports director. Sorry. Sports director John Scott and meteorologist Pat Hamer. Maybe they'll switch roles one day and see if one can do the other. In the meantime, stick with us right here. We got Sabres Live coming up next, then One Bills Live, show up in the Bulldog today on a Buffalo Football Friday. Enjoy your weekend.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.